Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So you know what? We've got a lot going on in the energy sector, don't we? Boy, do we ever. And you know, it's interesting to me is to watch this. It's a cycle and to see oil prices up and down. And here we are. Who would have thought in January of 2015, we have sub $50 oil prices. And it's an interesting turn of events, especially in light of the different things that brought us to this point. You have increased oil production in the United States. You've got Russia back online or pumping oil. You've got Middle East increasing their oil output with Iraq coming back online. You have concerns about slowing demand, especially in Europe. You've got the ongoing shale and directional drilling, just all this stuff going on. And on top of all that, you have alternative energy and alternative energy being dispensed through the electric charging stations. So a very timely guest for us today is Michael Farkas. He is CEO and co-founder of Car Charging Group, and a couple websites for our program we'll be referring to, carcharging.com and blinknetwork.com. Michael, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. I had to get that set up in there because that really puts a nice bow around where we are. And this whole concept, it was science fiction not long ago of having these car charging stations or to have, you know, I got a flyer the other day in the mail. I think it was, I'm trying to remember which vehicle it was, but it came with a car charging unit of some sort or some other home device. I'm like, boy, this is just, it's accelerated so quickly. And I understand that you are really deep into this, almost at the epicenter of this evolution that's happening with the ability to literally charge your car out on the road. So tell us a little bit about what you're doing, and we'll get some of your unique perspective on this.
Okay. We have two distinct lines of our business. One is we own and operate charging stations that are deployed throughout the United States. We're talking in the Whole Foods, Sears, Walmart, Walgreens, Equity Residential, even the major parking garage operators like Central Parking, Icon Parking, Laz Parking. So we own and operate charging stations in those locations. In addition, we have a component to our business where we sell hardware. We sell those same charging stations to property owners who want to deploy them at their own locations and generate the revenues off of those charging stations. In addition, we have a charging station that you could buy off of Amazon or for our website, where you could install it in your home.
Okay.
And charge, you know, directly in your garage.
Wow. Okay. So, and this is no small project for you guys. This is a big business. We did some reading and research, and this is a major rollout. What's the total number of units that are out there in terms of commercial and residential stations just in the United States?
We have in our network roughly about 13,500 charging stations.
Wow.
And there are more. We're the second largest network, but we are the largest owner-operator of charging stations in the country.
Fantastic. This is, again, I know I may sound a little naive on this. This is very quickly becoming mainstream.
Yes. If you look at the Detroit show, where the preview of all the new automobiles are for the United States, we're seeing almost every single manufacturer with EVs, full EVs, or plug-in hybrids.
Okay.
You're seeing even Mercedes C-Class, which is their like number one seller worldwide.
Sure.
Between that and the E-Class. They're electrifying all of them. BMW is going to be electrifying the 3 Series, the 4 Series. They have the i3 ready, the i8. Audi is coming out with a whole slew of different automobiles. Hyundai, Kia, GM, you know, on the Chevy side, every single manufacturer is putting some major money into these EVs. Chevy just came out yesterday and previewed what's called the new Chevy Volt, which goes 50 miles on electricity, but another 300 and change miles on using gas.
Hmm.
And the full electric called the Chevy Bolt, which is a $30,000 car, which travels over 200 miles on a single charge.
Wow.
We're seeing cars that are for the mainstream being previewed by these manufacturers. We're getting close to seeing an EV, a true EV presence, you know, in the transportation field.
It's almost like we're getting, and maybe this is another way of viewing it, it's almost like we're getting to a tipping point. Are we there where this is really, you know, the momentum is building, and it sounds like it is, that this has really become a viable business and platform will now be around. It's not an experiment anymore.
That is correct. We're seeing major manufacturers enter the space. The product is amazing. I've driven a whole different slew of EVs, and if you're talking about a true EV where the car is designed ground up to be an EV,
yeah,
you just have a much, much better product.
Hmm.
You know, go on YouTube today. You could see the new Tesla Model S,
yeah,
the D version, racing around with Lamborghinis and beating them, and racing around with Ferraris and beating them. And you go on YouTube, it's there for you to see. And the reason why is because an electric car, the way it's designed, using current technology, it's just a superior product to an internal combustion engine car.
Mm.
It's just based on physics, the way the whole car is positioned. You know,
sure.
You know what a bobblehead is? You remember? You know,
oh, yeah.
Those? Okay. That's the bobblehead is an engine in an automobile.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, it's a simple version of it, but that's what it is. And when you have an electric car, you're talking about typically having the batteries along the bottom of the car, the motor, you know, in between the wheels, or even there's wheel-based motors now. You're just bringing the entire center of gravity of the automobile down, so drivability-wise, and space and packaging internally.
True.
You can't compare. Most people don't realize that a Tesla Model S sits seven people.
Mm.
It's a sedan, but you have seats for seven people in that sedan. So, you know, when you realize that it's the same size as a Mercedes E-Class, but yet it has more interior space, closer to the S-Class, which is it's a mid-sized outside, but a large-sized interior. And it's all because of the way the car is packaged, because of the technology.
Wow. I remember now what the packet I got in the mail was. I think it was for a Porsche, and it was their electric vehicle version,
yep,
that a lot of these other companies are coming up with. And you're right, Michael, there. They are competing very much head-to-head. At one point, as you know these cars came out and they were very expensive and they had very little range, and this is all very, very much accelerating, no pun intended, toward much more mainstream. Now, are we seeing some of the impact yet on the whole petrochemical and oil infrastructure and what we've seen of late with prices? Is that in part due to some of this market penetration, or have we yet to see a real impact on oil prices because of the entrance and development of the whole electric model?
I believe, again, this is only my belief.
Of course.
I believe that definitely EVs, not to say it is the sole factor of the reason why things are happening with oil, but when you look at all these different conspiracy theories and all these other things that are going on, why people believe oil has gone down.
Right.
The fact of the matter is there's a substantial amount of oil, not massively impactful today,
right,
but a substantial amount of oil that hasn't been used because people have started adopting EVs.
Okay. So there is some impact.
There's no question about it. There is definitely some impact. When you look at the number and amount of gallons that have not been spent, It's when you look at the entire worldwide industry, it's not significant, I don't think, just yet, but it's definitely something that's being noticed.
Okay, you're right. There are a lot of other factors, and some conspiracies, some just plain up, you know, here's what's happening, like with Saudi Arabia and some of the other countries really deliberately trying to push that price down to marginalize some of the competitors. What I'm trying to get at, Michael, is that there's a real potential, which I'm sure you're very tuned into, this having a significant long-term impact on oil and how it responds. And as investors out there are thinking about where they invest their money, and they look at some of these oil companies and their price and their dividends and all of those other factors and how much less expensive perhaps those stocks are today versus where they've been 6 months or a year ago, it may not necessarily be that this is a bargain, if you will, that these prices may take some time to come back up. In other words, there may be a longer-term trend that impacts how people are spending their dollars and whether those stocks do rebound quickly.
Well, let's put it this way. If you look at just the Chevy Volt alone,
yes,
okay, and that's just one car alone, 36 million gallons have been saved.
Okay, that's a
just
lot.
Just from the Chevy Volt alone. There's almost 700 million miles of EV miles driven off the Chevy Volt. So while it's maybe about, what, $125 million market, maybe somewhere around there.
Okay.
Maybe like $3, $4, you know, whatever, $3.5. That almost $130 million worth of, you know, oil not sold because of using this car. But remember, there's also the Nissan Leaf.
Sure.
There's also the Tesla. There's also some of the Ford products. So when you look at it all combined, you're talking about maybe, you know, $300 million worth of fuel that wasn't sold. In the United States, that's inconsequential today. But what's happening is with oil being as high as it is, or high as it was, there was a lot of investment being made by the auto manufacturers.
Right.
And a lot of pressure put on the auto manufacturers by the governments to make EVs. Now, one thing that I believe that pricing is something important. The fact of the matter is, even at these prices, gas would have to go down a heck of a lot more so, or, you know, gas prices would have to go down a heck of a lot more so to be compatible with charging at home.
Okay.
Or charging or buying a membership from Car Charging Group to use our charging stations and have a pay one price type of membership for any users that just need to use public infrastructure.
Okay.
We still have to come down a heck of a lot more. But really, what we have to really look at here is the impact on the environment. And I know most people say, hey, is there global warming? Is it not? Is it really affecting us? I have to tell you, I don't know for sure whether or not, you know, we impact the entire Earth as much as we think.
Yeah.
I don't know either way.
Yeah.
It could be yes, it could be no. I don't know for sure, but I do know one thing for sure. I know that on the local environment that we live in, we impact massively.
Okay.
And because of certain areas of the world that we live in, okay, and the geology of the area and the whole, you know, the area itself, we can massively impact the area. Mexico City. There's a way to really affect what's going on in the pollution in that city. If everyone adopted an EV, it would be a lot easier to breathe in that city.
Hmm.
Same thing in Beijing.
Yeah.
There are cities that if you adopt EVs and get rid of all of these cars that are spewing these emissions into these cities, and they have, you know, they are where they are, ultimately you can impact and make it a better place. So yes, I believe that EVs need to be looked at in order to impact the local environment above and beyond just pricing between gas prices and the arbitrage between what will cost me to drive a gas car versus what it costs me to drive an electrical car. Because bottom line is, when you look at an electrical car, there's no maintenance on them. There's little or no maintenance on them, except for maybe new tires and new windshield wipers and windshield washer fluid. There's no fluids. You don't have transmission fluids. Your brake pads, you know, you have regenerative braking systems, so you're not so dependent on brake pads. So you don't need to change them anywhere near as much. There's just no fluids like you're normally used to.
Right.
The service and maintenance on an EV is a completely different ballgame. So to maintain and operate the car after the purchase price, it's just much cheaper to maintain and price. The effect on the environment, you can't compare an internal combustion engine car to an EV. And especially now, if we can adopt renewable technologies, renewable energy technologies, you will have a car that there's no emissions, literally, from your energy source all the way down to driving that car.
Excellent. Excellent. That is the future. Michael Farkas, ladies and gentlemen, CEO and co-founder of Car Charging Group. Quick break. We'll come back and talk more with Michael about the opportunities that this all presents. Stay right there.
What if in the time it takes to eat lunch, you could potentially strengthen your financial future? Would you invest 1 hour to plan stronger? If you spend just 1 hour with certified financial planner David Holland, you'll get simple, straightforward advice to help you plan stronger. And if you already have a financial plan, isn't it worth an hour to get a second opinion? There is no cost or obligation to meet with David. Call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com for more information.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We have Michael Farkas on the line with us, CEO and co-founder of Car Charging Group, and a couple of websites for you, carcharging.com and blinknetwork.com. And Michael, I wanted to come back and, you know, as the listeners are hearing you and I talk through this, and you're giving us some outstanding insight into what's happening in the whole electrical vehicle market and the dispensing of electricity and how these things are done and the stations, the natural question that would come is, where, if there is potentially a long, you know, the long-term trend of this that we've talked about, and that may not necessarily be good for the oil producers, although they may get involved in other ways, but for the investor, where are the opportunities to invest and benefit from this becoming a growing marketplace?
I think there's a couple of places that are the natural providers of these services moving forward.
Okay.
Obviously, I think you look at the automotive companies, they're going to produce cars, whether they're fueled by gasoline, diesel, electricity, or tomato sauce. So, you know, whatever the fuel source is, ultimately adapted by the world, they'll figure out a way to make a car around it.
Right.
So I don't know how much it's going to impact them. Energy producers, I think that's where you see your most conservative way to invest, utilities that produce electricity.
Okay.
Because they're ultimately going to be powering these cars. Enablers, like companies such as mine, Car Charging Group, where we own a location, we are the sole provider of EV charging services. That's our main business, where we have a long-term revenue stream derived from EV owners who are going to need to fuel their cars outside of their home, or if they live in multifamily residential facilities, or they're driving around highway routes or whatever it may be. Most people are going to charge at home if they can, and we provide many multifamily residential operators with EV charging services, such as Equity Residential and Crescent Heights, and a lot of these parking garage operators that are in a lot of these buildings or manage them, like Central Parking and Standard Parking and Icon Parking and Laz Parking and Ace Parking and so on. But ultimately, it's guys like us who are going to manage those relationships with the property owners and are between the property owner and the EV owner and allow them to have that service, as well as other companies that provide the hardware and the technologies behind it.
So it's going to be on getting energy created and then getting it into the cars.
That is correct. Yeah. You know, no matter what, you know, if you live in a multifamily property, there's no plug for you to just plug into the car where you could get billed for your services. The property owners don't want to pay for that.
Right.
So there needs to be some sort of metering system. It's like almost like washing machines
right.
in buildings. I hate to, you know, minimize it as a business, but it's literally almost operating a vending machine for electricity so the people who use the services can pay for it and other people don't have to pay for them. So you're going to see a whole slew of these in, you know, condo buildings, office towers, because people are either going to be charging at home at night
right.
or when they're at work during the day, or if they're driving along a highway route, or if they're shopping all day and they're pulling into a Walgreens or a Walmart or a Sears. That's where we've positioned ourselves. Or if you're just driving along and you want to pull into a shopping plaza or a Ralph's, you know, or Whole Foods or whatever it may be, you'll have the opportunity of being able to plug in. The difference between going to get your car fueled at a gas station is you're going to have to go somewhere specific.
Right.
With electric vehicles, wherever you go, that's where you're going to be able to plug in. You're okay. not going to have to go somewhere specific.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question is, are you seeing adoption by gas stations to put these right alongside the other pumps? Obviously, there needs to be some spacing because I'm sure safety concerns, but are they putting them in their facilities or is this an entirely separate distribution?
Well, we are seeing that happen. I don't necessarily agree with that model.
Okay.
And the reason why is there's a couple of different levels of charging. There's ultra-slow charging. You can literally plug your car into the wall that you have any wall jack throughout the United States. And it takes a long time to charge your car. Then they have souped up 220 outlets that are called fast charging, usually typically 220, 240 volts by anywhere from 30 to 80 amps. And mostly 30 amps today. In the generation, it's going to grow until 80 amps down in the future.
Okay.
And then they have what's called supercharging, which is DC fast charging. and that's anywhere from, you know, 25 all the way up to 125 on the Teslas. So seeing different charging, but even on the supercharging, if you have a Tesla that's fully depleted, you know, you're still talking about 40, 50 minutes on a supercharger to fill up that whole car. You need to do something during that period of time.
Right.
If you're charging at home, you know, when your car, the average car stands idle almost 92% of the day.
Okay.
So during that 92% of the day when that car is sitting there, that's when it should be charging. So while you're in your office, it should
right,
be charging.
Right, right.
If it can be. Or while you're at sleep, you know, while you're asleep or at your home at night. If you have charging, you know, facilities in both of those locations, you never really have to worry. That'll take care of most of your needs. So that's what we do. If you live in a single family home, we have a product for you. You could go to, like I said, blinknetwork.com. Actually, we have a specific site for our home unit, which is called blinkhq.com. And you could buy, you know, it's a $400-$500 unit that you could buy online, put it into your garage, and you charge at night, you plug it in, and you wake up in the morning, your car is fully charged. We also have other chargers that we have that you have in a workplace where multiple people can use them. And you could use mobile applications to control them and find out where they are. And that's our mobile apps. You could look at both of them, both on Android and iOS. It's called the Blink app, B-L-I-N-K, and it's a EVSE app. So you write Blink Charging, and it'll come up. You'll see the app, and also on Android and iOS. And then we have another app called Car Charging App. And our Car Charging App integrates multiple hardware vendors, so you could see a whole different amount of charging stations owned by us as well as others. And you could be directed to every single charging station that's out there.
So when you're on the road, Michael, and somebody says, okay, something happened, I didn't charge last night, and I'm out on the road to do it, and they do a mobile, they need to stop at an actual mobile charging station, what's the shortest period of time that could take?
Well, you can have a Nissan Leaf that you could pull up to a supercharger with a DC fast charger.
Okay.
And within 20 minutes, 80% of your battery is
full. Okay. Still a little longer than a fill-up.
It's definitely longer than a fill-up. So, you know, it's not like you're going to need something more than just a gas station.
Yeah.
You're going to need something that you could either pick up something to eat, pick up a magazine, have something else to do. So, you know, one of the reasons why we love our partnership with Walgreens is because the average day in Walgreens is about 20 minutes or so.
Yeah.
So instead of just going to a gas station, we'd rather you go to Walgreens, get your car filled up, then go ahead, you go inside, you take your 20 minutes, because most people need to go to Walgreens, you know, every couple times a week anyway, and then by the time you're out, your car's fueled. That's where we see in public charging a great place, because there's Walgreens and CVS's, both of which are our customers. They're all over the place. So, you know, as more and more EVs are sold in markets, more and more of those locations are deployed at.
Very good. It's good stuff, and I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to be a fascinating thing to see it develop. Michael Farkas, ladies and gentlemen, with us, CEO and co-founder of Car Charging Group. Quick break. We'll be right back with Michael.
Do you know how to get the most from Social Security? Don't let a simple mistake prevent you from receiving all the benefits you've earned. David Holland recently showed a retiring couple how they could get an extra $84,000 in Social Security benefits over their expected lifetime. Wow! Don't leave your money on the table. Call Holland Financial today for your one-on-one appointment. David can do a free analysis for you and show you the optimal age to start drawing Social Security and filing techniques to maximize your benefits. There is no cost or obligation. Call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We've had Michael Farkas on the line with us today, CEO and co-founder of Car Charging Group. A couple of websites, carcharging.com and blinknetwork.com. For those folks who want to take a look, Michael, what's the ticker for the company that we should give them?
CCGI.
All right, CCGI. And that is could be part of a portfolio. Investors in your company, are you institutional as well as individual investors? Is it a mix? What's your ownership structure like?
We have a substantial amount of institutional ownership. We recently completed a $6 million placement, which we just filed an 8K on so people could go through. It was placed directly through institutional investors, two of them. And we are a public company. We are growing. It is a business that still is in its infancy. There's been a lot of activity in our space, but there have been a lot of failures. And part and parcel was most other companies in our space, their business model was based upon government handouts and subsidies.
Yeah.
Our business model has always been based upon deploying hardware in locations that there's a demand. And while we stayed focused on our business model, some of the others were unable to sustain theirs, and we were able to purchase them for pennies on the dollar. So we bought a company that there was hundreds of millions of dollars spent on that company for it to grow, and we were able to buy it for $3 and change million and gain access to all of their hardware. And we changed their business model from being a government-owned business that deployed based upon getting funded by the government to turning those units on and making them revenue-generating hardware.
Excellent.
And we're getting to a point where we're going to see our revenues get close to our expenses, and hopefully in short order, we're going to start being a profitable company, which is something that's really unheard of in our space right now.
Well, that's remarkable, and I applaud what you're doing. And I'm looking ahead and thinking about where all this is going. And yeah, I saw the report that you had picked up some of the other companies and have been able to leverage that. And of course, you know, there's a huge expanding market from what I had read also that China now is, you know, a market that you may, are you expanding into that as we speak, or is that something on the in the future?
That is something we are working on now.
Excellent.
We've been working on it for the last little while. The Chinese government is earmarking a substantial amount of money. From what we understand, it's roughly about $16 billion.
Wow.
Just for the deployment of hardware, which is infrastructure for EVs. And that's it. They're not talking about financing the cars or batteries or anything. This is just to purchase hardware and get it put in the ground. This is a business that there is no one that has as much experience in doing so than us. As I mentioned, we are the largest owner and operator of hardware, so it's been our job not only to buy it from third parties and get it installed, but we own it and operate it. There are other players out there, even worldwide, who are in the space, and they have some networks out there, but again, as an owner and operator, the guys who actually own the hardware, not sell it to a third party and it's there as a vending machine, we're the largest of that.
Excellent.
And I believe our experience in the market, such as the U.S., is really going to be a major advantage for us to be able to help the Chinese market expand.
Excellent, Michael. Well, we'll have to keep a close eye and watch you develop. Michael Farkas, ladies and gentlemen, CEO and co-founder of Car Charging Group, carcharging.com and blinknetwork.com. Michael, we will check in with you and see how the progress is going. Thank you very much for being on the program today.
Thank you for having me.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.